Blog Talk Radio.
Yakuza! Yakuza! Yakuza Kick Radio!
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 This is the Bulldozer, Matt Tremont. And if there's one place to listen to on the internet, every Thursday, 9 p.m., Yakuza Kick Radio. Tremont says so. Who wants some?
God help us, Jesus! God and babies, Jesus! Help us.
Ladies and gentlemen of fucking America, this is Danny Havoc, and you have been listening to, or possibly are intending to listen to, the Yakuza Kick fucking radio. Fucking, yeah, Yakuza Kick radio.
Hell fucking yeah!
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
You're coming to come on Thursday night in California.
This is a brotherhood, and we all stick together. Like my nuts.
I ain't scared of you, motherfucker.
Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole.
Everybody's a cunt but me in the world. I don't know what it is.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
Well, this is Mr. Insanity, Toby Klein, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird.
Oh, I don't like the cut of your jib, fella.
It's Greg Excellent, Bearded Dragon of the Northeast. You're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio. If you're not, probably watching porn and you have this muted. You should be listening to it, Jason Mann.
Where are Biggie and Tupac?
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Give a nigga rope one bit cowboy, guys.
All you have to do is listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look at that doctor, homie. Fuck that. Black D. House.
Bullshit, man. Motherfucker.
Fuck you. Fuck you and fuck you. Who's next?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for the introduction.
Hosted by J-Cat Morris.
You are now listening to
Yakuza Kick Radio.
It is Wednesday, June 11, 2014. Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. I'm your host, J-Cat Morris, as usual. A few things to talk about. Probably going to do about an hour or so here. You know, I'll get into all the reasons behind that and everything else. But, you know, I had some stuff to talk about for sure. Last I talked to you guys, last Wednesday, I did last Thursday. That's what I did. And, the Miami Heat were playing the Spurs in game one of the finals. Things were going all right, you know, for the first half while I was on air. And then what happened at the second half was apparently the whole game, the air conditioning was out in the, I don't know what the name of the building is, but where the Spurs play, the Alamo Dome, something like that. The air conditioning was out, so it was like 95 degrees in there. And, you know, I know a lot of players and a lot of sports play in extreme weather conditions. But, you know, people went out of their way to, like, criticize, LeBron after the fact. Just because they're just some reverse cowgirl dick-riding motherfuckers. And that's – I decided to add a little bit more to that term because it's not just your average standard dick-riding motherfucker. These motherfuckers ride the shit with pride. These motherfuckers ride the shit like they're really trying to accomplish something. That's why I think, like, the reverse cowgirl position, it properly represents what they're trying to do to the dick, you know? Because this is what it is. But, so anyway, LeBron ended up cramping up bad, like, during the end of the game, where his shit was locking up, man, and he just wasn't able to, you know, get back in the game. And, you know, people just want to continue to just bash him and this and that. And anybody who's been an athlete at a high level, and only reason I've put myself in that category at all is because I have done things like run, you know, 12 miles. And, you know, towards the end of the running those 12 miles, you feel all the muscles and tendons and ligaments and all that shit in your legs as tight as humanly possible. And you have that feeling like if you made the wrong cut or crazy move at any given moment, you might tear some shit. So, you know, when you do have cramps coming off of that type of activity, your shit locks up and you know that, like, again, one bad move, your shit's already stressed to the fullest, it's locked up, it's flexed out and extended as much as it could be. If you do anything, like a step, anything, you could tear some shit, muscles and tendons and all that type of stuff. So, people, you know, who sit on their fat ass all day love to go like, I've gotten cramps before, fucking step it up, LeBron. No. You've gotten like fucking, I ate before I went, you know, I ate a fucking double hot dog before I jumped in the fucking pool at a barbecue type fucking stomach cramps and shit like this. You've had fucking period cramps, you bitch ass motherfucker. You haven't had fucking athletic fucking locking your muscles up, watch what you do type shit. That's what the fuck it was there. So it is what it is, man. And like he after the game and, you know, the next day was like, my body failed me. Like, he was not happy about this shit. And that's the thing. Like, people just love to just chalk it up to, oh, LeBron's a bitch. How does LeBron become a bitch after being the best basketball player in the game right now in the blink of an eye through these motherfuckers' opinions? It's just like, one minute he's winning MVPs. One minute they're comparing him to Jordan. And then the next minute, oh, he's such a bitch. Like, come on, man. Y'all just love that motherfucker when it comes down to it. Y'all have some love-hate relationship with LeBron James because he's my current favorite. My favorite all-time player is Shaq, man. That was my dude. But my favorite current player in the league and has been for a minute is LeBron James. He's an amazing player. You might not like him because if he plays against your team, he's going to fuck your team up. I mean, it's not going to be an easy game knowing he's on the other side of the court. So I could understand why people would dislike him or hate him in that level. But to just want that motherfucker to fail on the highest level the way that these fucking people do and to go out of their way to discredit the guy's accomplishments, every move he makes and every single thing that he ever accomplished, they try to tear it down the best way they can. That dude could have a cold, and they'll be at his fucking window. Wake up! Get out of here, you bitch-ass motherfucker! What, you sneezing, bitch? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I've never seen no shit like this. And, you know, I made the comparison earlier tonight, and it holds true. You know, I believe Joe Montana is the greatest quarterback to ever play the NFL. A lot of people would agree. Even non-49er fans would agree. You get you some people who will argue, you know, they'll throw the Dan Marino stuff or this guy or that guy. Whatever, everyone has their opinion. But, you know, stats speak for themselves. And when it comes down to it, again, I believe Joe Montana is the greatest quarterback to play the game. Now, having said that, every time Tom Brady accomplished something, did I jump up on fucking social media and start going, yeah, well, he's no Joe Montana. Well, you better step your game up if you want to be Joe Montana. That's what these motherfuckers do with the Jordan bullshit. It doesn't make any fucking sense. I understand you think Jordan's the man. What the fuck does that have to do with LeBron James accomplishing shit? It's the same thing I go with Montana, man. Every time someone else, another quarterback, accomplishes something, I don't go, yeah, well, you still ain't Joe Montana. Try winning another 3 rings, motherfucker. I mean, shit just don't make any sense. I don't understand why you would operate that way or even conduct yourself that as a grown-ass man. You sound like a bunch of bitches. You really, really do. I'm honestly at the point where I'm about to start deleting motherfuckers off my Facebook that have that level of hate because they look like straight broads, man. Broads with dude jeans on. And the shit gets on my fucking nerves to the point where it's not like, hey, a difference in opinion, I don't want to hear your shit. But when motherfuckers really go above and beyond to, like, basketball's fixed because LeBron won or the refs are in his pocket. Oh, well, the NBA isn't even talented anymore. If it was like back in the day, he'd be no better than than Patrick Ewing. Get the fuck out of here with that ignorant ass shit. I have no time in my life for motherfuckers speaking on that level of ignorance. Just to be bitch ass motherfuckers. There's no facts behind that shit. Like I said, you want to go to this Jordan LeBron shit, and LeBron James is not Michael Jordan. He's not trying to be Michael Jordan. He's another basketball player that's successful. Why the fuck you got to link one and two? I don't know. But as far as what LeBron's age is, LeBron has two fucking NBA championships. That's the same amount of championships that Michael Jordan had at LeBron's age. Give it up, man. When he's fucking done, and then you want to fucking put stats side by side, he already trumped fucking Jordan's his assists on his total career in the years that LeBron has played. So he's already trumped one thing. Let him play his fucking career out. And then if you want to side by side and go who's the best, blah, 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 then do that. I don't know that he's going to, you know, beat out Michael Jordan for all his accomplishments, and I honestly don't think that's his goal in life, is to beat out some other dude. He's going out there and trying to play the best basketball he can, and look what the fuck he's doing. So, okay, game two, came back, bounced back, and beat the Spurs in San Antonio. So, that, you know, it is what it is. Now, I mean, last night, fuck around in San Antonio, man, they played one of the best first halves of basketball in the history of the NBA Finals. No bullshit. Something stat-wise actually reflected that. I want to say the best first half. If not, definitely the best second quarter in the history of the NBA Finals. 90-something percent shooting they were shooting in the second quarter. I forget. It might have been 98% or some crazy shit like this. They weren't missing a fucking thing. They were up 25 points. At some point, we had brought it back in the second half to 7 points. And it looked like we were about to, you know, really close that gap. But it was just too much. You know what I mean? It was too much running uphill all day for us to catch up with the team that, you know, they were just putting in that work. I mean, there was just no beating San Antonio last night. They played the best ball that they could. I personally don't think that they can continue to play at that level to beat the Miami Heat. Of course, I'm biased, but in the same token, I don't think that they can shoot that percentage of shots on, you know, on the next night. I don't think so, which I believe is tomorrow night. So we'll see. But, you know, I mean, LeBron's one of those guys. He's going to bring it. Wade's been bringing it. Bosh, I mean, we got so many guys that are really, really putting in work, and it's going to be a great series. I just, like I said, something about these fucking people, man, that they go out of their way to just whine and bitch and hate, and oh, man, this shit is disgusting. It's really embarrassing for me to look at other motherfuckers putting themselves out there like that and go, like, I associate with this dude on some level. Even if it's across the computer where I got to just read your fucking feelings and have other people maybe back you up or click like on your stuff, I don't even want to be associated with you motherfuckers. You know what I mean? And like I said, it's not a difference in an opinion or, hey, I'm a Knicks fan. You know, fuck that guy. He keeps beating our team and shit. That motherfucker, we ain't going to get out of the Eastern Conference playoffs until that dude's on the Western Conference, or unless we get him on our team, or I could understand that level of hate where you're like, fuck him because I'm a Knicks fan. Then just be as simple as that. Or fuck him because, you know what I mean, there's just no win in the East with him sitting there. Something like that. But to start with this, oh, LeBron whines, LeBron flops, this and that. We had more players on the other team get fined for flopping during this playoffs that we played here. Why? Because that's LeBron's thing? No. Because other motherfuckers do it too, and then people want to point it out. Eh, they go to this level. They were calling them La Cramp and La Flop and all this. Do you understand that that's the level of an elementary school kid when they take your name and they add some other shit to it? Yeah, I mean, you got to come up with some better shit than that, because y'all sound fucking amateur as hell. And you put that shit, and you type that shit, and you hit enter, like, motherfucker's gonna love this shit, man. I just came up, I put, his name's LeBron, and he had cramps, so I put La Cramp, and then I hit enter, so motherfuckers, get the fuck out of here, man. You should be ashamed of yourself. You motherfuckers should really be ashamed of yourself. There's little ass kids on the playground right now with the same level of fucking insults that you got. Little ass kids on the fucking monkey bars that's dissing other kids with the same power you got. Fucking pathetic. Anyway, like I said, go Heat. I'm hoping the motherfuckers bounce back tomorrow. But hey, man, the Spurs are a hell of a team, and it's going to be a battle. I'm not one of these guys that's going to come out and say, we got this, we're going to roll over them. But shit, if anybody's built to compete in the NBA playoffs, it's the Miami Heat. So, it is what it is, man. Basketball fans, enjoy, goddammit. What else happened? Then I went, I did my race. That was the Rock Solid Mud Run I did on Saturday. And it was a great race. It was a 5-mile obstacle race. They had a 3-mile and a 5-mile I chose. And it was good, man. My lungs were blown up. For whatever reason, my lungs were not ready for this shit. But just did my thing anyway. I definitely have learned through these obstacle races that I'm not the strongest swimmer. I'm not, I can swim, and I do when I have to, but I'm not the strongest swimmer. And especially, you know, you do these races, you go into those fucking waters with your damn shoes on. So, they had 4 lake crossings pretty much right in the beginning of the race where it was like you got to swim across the lake. Do a little obstacle, run a little bit up the side of the beach thing, then cross back the lake, and then, run a little bit, cross the lake again. So 4 times you had to swim across this lake. So that shit blew my lungs up real good. And, it is what it is, got past it. And I'm not smoking nobody in the water. That's for damn sure. I get across there, but it's not at a fantastic pace. And I don't know. I mean, I guess I could practice swimming and shit, but I guess I practice with my fucking shoes on or what? I don't know. It's just it's definitely awkward. And at the same token, like I said, it's not my forte. But so that was that. And that's when I knew right off the bat that my lungs were kind of feeling it, just off of the swimming and feeling my lungs how they were. Going on from there, and they had in Englishtown, that's where they ran the thing, that's the same place I did Tough Mudder. They got a really, really good setup there. Like, as far as their landscape, like they have so much space that they really are an excellent venue to host these races, because they can fit everything in there without putting it on top of each other. And I really, really like that place. I'm also doing the Battle Frog race there, too, which is a 15K, and then Tough Mudder there, too. I think I'm doing another one there as well, like the, what the hell is the other one? I forget what the, Rugged Maniac, I think that one's in it there, too. But, so, like I said, I like the venue, and, they had a lot of good obstacles. Like I said, the last one I did was kind of bullshit, so they just kept throwing you in the creek, freezing-ass water. So it was good, they had a lot of, woods interaction. You went in there, ran the trails, hopping over shit, some mud. But they didn't overdo the mud, which I like a lot, because a lot of these things they just throw, like, tons of mud pits in there just for the sake of you getting dirty and shit. And you could trudge through some stuff and really push yourself without just throwing in useless mud pits for no reason. It is what it is. If that's what you're going to do, I'll take whatever you throw at me. But I'm just saying, as far as, the race being good, I thought it was really well put together. They definitely got to fire their promotions department, because there was a very low turnout. I was running a 10 o'clock race. And by the 10 o'clock race, they were already telling people, like, if you're standing here and you got a later time, just do it now, because I think we're all out of people. And it was a total of 130 people turned out, and I finished 16th out of 130. So I was happy with my time, with my thing there. Did it in like an hour and change. And like I said, 5 miles, not a bad time at all. And I was definitely having a hard time with my lungs. So I know I could have done that much better, and who knows how you know, how good I could have finished if I was able to really just run my ass off. There's definitely a lot of times I had to walk, catch my breath, then, you know, turn it on a little bit, run, you know, catch up, do what I'm doing. So, you know, still early in the season. This is only my second race out of seven. I got another one in 2 weeks. That's going to be pretty extreme because I'm running in the elite class of the Badass Dash. That's the weekend after this coming weekend. And I'm looking forward to that. So I'll be 8:45 in the morning, and I'll be running pretty good shit. So that was that. I think that's about all I got for that race. But yeah, like I said, Rock Solid Mud Run was very well put together. I think they absolutely had to take a beating on money brought in, because 130 people is nothing. You got to figure, Warrior Dash, I came in 275 out of 8,300 in that. That was, you know, last year, last August. It was a two-day event, I believe. So you had 8,300 over 2 days, but still, that's, I mean, 8,300 people, you know damn well they made their money back and some. They made quite a bit of cash on that. Half of these sign-ups are 100+. You know what I mean? So $100 a piece, you get $8,000 in there. You can do the math there. That's some big shit. You know, you put out that type of money for the same type of event, and you come up with 130 people, you're taking a beating. That promotions department is very low rent. I mean, they need to step their shit up, because every other facet of the race, I think they did pretty well. They probably could have used a couple more staff members, too, along the course. I don't really need them, but, you know, it couldn't have hurt. It definitely felt like there were some gaps in, you know, some of the obstacles that weren't as manned, you know, as they should be. Because, you know, some of these other races you'd see as you go to, you know, people, hey, keep going, oh, you got to do this, you know, explaining the thing if people didn't know what the fuck to do. But it was all good. Like I said, I had a great time with it. So then going on from there, I had oral surgery yesterday, actually. Had 5 extractions. So, you know, oddly enough that I'm doing a podcast the following night, but, you know, it's kind of how I do. But, you know, it's definitely a step in the right direction, because even though, you know, the 5 extractions, I had a lot more pain previous to the extractions because of what was going on there. So it's all good. I was thinking of a lot about this thing with the anesthesiologist, because I got knocked out for it. And I thought, you know, the anesthesiologist is a lot like a date rapist. In that, that sounds crazy, but they're a lot like a date rapist in that they drug you, then they ask you a question, but they don't give a fuck what your answer is. I mean, you know, hey, how was your day? Hey, tell me more about your kids. They know within 3 sentences of your answer. You're knocked out, and they're going to do what they planned on doing. Now, obviously, the intent of a date rapist and a dentist, they're 2 completely different things. However, I mean, they both might wind up in your mouth. I don't know. I'm just saying, you know, very similar. It's just, you know, they ask you some shit, and you get to that point, too, where you just kind of look at them like, you don't give a fuck what I say next. Let me just let this time pass. I'll just be knocked out, you know? It's almost like, too, if, like the cops do with the drunk drivers. They know the motherfucker's drunk, and they try to, you know, say the alphabet backwards. You know goddamn well they can't say the alphabet backwards. You're just doing some shit to entertain yourself before you throw them in the car. So, that's the same kind of thing. It's like, they might as well just ask you some wacky shit. Some way off the wall shit, because they know within 30 seconds you're unconscious, so it really doesn't matter. But yeah, so that's what that is there. I think I'm gonna take a quick break and come back and, you know, talk about some other things, a little bit of wrestling, and like I said, yeah, pretty short show, probably do like an hour or so tonight. Got a bunch of new beats and shit, and let's see who we want to play. Let me play this Slaughterhouse shit. Shit's crazy.
You got something on your mind, nigga.
Say that then.
Well, let me say it without worrying about if my label okay it. With weapon waste riling out, man, give them room. Used to have skeletons in my closet, but now they sit in my living room. Octomom, I picture putting more niggas in a hole in that bitch's womb. The street sweepers, the wicked witch's broom. A silver spoon, I never had it. I grew up mad at Ad Frank, cause the bitch lived in a better attic.
Say that then.
I see my share static, they say that it made me charismatic. Born leader who was born Libra in a foreign two-seater with a porn diva. Blowing reefer and porn liters of vodka. Cause the feds freezing a nigga bread. I'm drinking thinking they gon' seize me even when I'm dead. Killers in my backyard, in the dark with choppers while I'm sleeping in my bed. Dreaming about Slaughterhouse, dropping an album that's a chart topper while I got these demons scheming on my head. Even though I'm the realest. See, it wasn't enough violence and menace to society to show you how Cali killers be chilling in society. And the police, they hate me. Long Beach PD probably wanna kill Eminem for signing me. Cause I was supposed to be a statistic. A ghost to me is realistic. My dad homie said,
say that then. Guess it's where I'm supposed to been, huh? Under scrutiny, all my opportunity went, huh? Reality is I had more personality bent, huh? Nonsense, but honestly, my conscience is dealing with a constant conflict with the bullshit I be doing that I feel so bad about the second after it's accomplished. A compass, I need one of those cause I'm wandering in darkness. But I see straight and it feels great being clean around it. Being clean around it, say that then. Being clean around this garbage, two-stepping through this garden full of frozen cold snakes. When you a lion, warm-hearted, bank account comma, but still get your undergarments from Target. With a penthouse apartment kind of nigga, still ready to piss in the elevator and shake the dormant hand before you go jogging. I'm just a hood nigga, fuck it, but I'm a good nigga fucking after that cat on my tongue. But never the cat got my tongue, my nigga. Say that then.
So I can knock your dome off your neck. Get your whole right eye socket broke with a left. You could go ape shit, fake prick, and take flicks with eight clips. You still never posing a threat. If you gon' say something, say it then.
My big mouth, got a big mouth. Can't help talk my heart real. You know what I'm saying?
Got something on your mind.
I made a living off of rhyming about just how I feel at the moment. Right at this particular moment, I'm in that zone where I'm wondering how far I really could get with just my diploma. Reflecting on how rap is a blessing, feeling that same feeling before I fuck my first bad bitch that I got right after undressing. Feeling like him, I'll pop to get this. In your head, you hear it. That voice of confidence that comes down on you from the heavens. Like, yeah, you about to get it. Just hope that you don't stick your dick in the dud, cause that bitch can end up your wife or your mistress, or a chick the same type as your mistress, or a chick that's just gon' draw your name with a stick in the mud, rather intended or unintended. It all comes with the territory, no pun intended. I fell out with all of my friends, like, is it me or is it them? Angry like, shit, everybody can't be wrong, but a lot of these niggas just can't be right. Therefore, I say it's their fault.
Say that then.
I fucking plan to. Too many hoes out here niggas didn't ran through. I'd rather roll through the valley and lay low. I done fell out of love and back in love again. Now out of love and back with my spouse mode and Hallie and J-Lo. If she left me, my inner self would shatter. I could leave her cause I'm a selfish addict. The problem is I just don't want nobody else to have her. If we split up, consider my health a hazard. Or else living in wealth and lavish. And as far as these niggas who wanna kill me, you never get a chance. You a criminal, chill with your subliminal Twitter rant. You bigger than that, you just ain't bigger than me. You are literally killing me figuratively. I'm busy thinking about who hot and how they bit off me. If any one of you niggas jump on me, nobody gon' have to tell you that you should probably get off me. And that's off rip, bruh. Your contract killers can sign off with you. That little beef, y'all talking the small things to a giant like Goliath. Been drinking that Anaconda malt liquor. Slaughterhouse, we the nicest folk fellas. And if that day should come that we should ever part ways, it'd just be an excuse for us to reunite at Coachella.
I heard them words and they stung. My ears wrong. Was told that cancer finally made it to its lungs. Some of y'all are blessed enough that y'all have no idea what the fuck I'm talking about, cause y'all got no experience. So in case you hear this verse and thinking there's the slightest chance that he'll survive, his cancer's on level 4, and it's not a 5. So my mother lose her mother, now my dad is losing his, all for miles apart. Wildest part is that's not the wildest part. What's outlandish is I too would wanna vanish. Alcoholic uncle robbing him blind and taking advantage. My aunt's supposed to be holding him down, but she's sure the game. Behind his back just took out another insurance claim.
Say that thing.
Well, indeed I will. They making all these alterations to his will. He can't even play his poker games in peace. Y'all gotta chill. Like I can't decide if he's dying like Marx. I'm just busy trying to get my Mark Cuban on, my Leo Rick Rubin on, my Nas Pop Big JM infusion on. The out rap A movement gone. Gun on the couch shit, wrong one to be running your mouth with. Bars, no VH1, it's mouth shit. If a nigga don't spit crack, go back and stock up. No harm, sometimes you gotta stir it to it, rock up. Been broken, been rich, been high sober. Fucked almost eight models twice over, like I was living my life over. These niggas ain't gotta like me, but after a decade in, they all respect me. Shit, they won't even directly indirect me. It's cool, I'm back to business. Stacking these riches means caskets and ditches. With my shoes on, living sacrilegious. It's joke, looking like money, all the pretty hoes can't help but look. Life gave me limits, better be what Jordan Belfort took. Slaughter La Familia, Glocks out over here. The schoolboys with Kendrick, we dropouts over here. No offense, cause they're my niggas, and that list is short. You get the gist, I'm sure. Joke.
Yeah, it's just crazy. I think Slaughterhouse got an upcoming album. I actually just completely slept on it and didn't realize that 50 dropped an album last week. And I got it, you know, a couple days late. Normally I'm right on that shit. I have it 3 days before it came out. But I didn't realize someone else posted something about it, and then I got it. So that joint's pretty hot, too. Couple tracks on there I like a lot. Yeah, you know, a couple things, a couple mixtapes that came out. Definitely bouncing my music all over the place because I finally synced my iPod. Now I just got to rebuild my whole fucking iTunes playlist and all that shit, which is, you know, my worst nightmare, at least as far as the computer shit goes. So I'm fucking around with the music a lot. But yeah, some good shit there. So I think it was... forget exactly which day it was, but Tracy Morgan had gotten to a terrible accident where his he had like a they called it like a limo bus, but I think it was more of like an SUV limo, from what I saw from the truck that I saw, and you know, it got hit by a fucking Walmart truck and flipped over his one dude that was one of his comedy writers and one of his, you know, his mentors and shit. He died. A lot of other people in there were, you know, everybody else was hurt bad. Yeah, he's hurt bad. He's in the hospital. Supposedly he's doing a lot better, but at least one of his legs were crushed, and, you know, all types of surgery with that. And I think he's got diabetes too, so that only complicates everything else he's going with. But, you know, best wishes to that dude. Tracy's always been a hilarious dude. And Noah probably told this story before, but Tracy Morgan was one of my, you know, small celebrity interactions. Back in the day, we're talking 95, I went to a deaf comedy jam that was actually over here in Lakewood by me. And, you know, and this was before Tracy Morgan was anything. All he was a stand-up comic, you know, deaf comedy jam level dude. And, you know, he headlined the Deaf Comedy Jam, but other than headlining that, you know, he still wasn't really anybody, just really on the come up. And, you know, hilarious dude. And there was, you know, there was some white people in the, you know, in the actual Deaf Comedy Jam show. But then we went to the after party, me and, you know, a couple dudes. And there were no white people at the after party, just me. So it was funny, and it was set up, and it was at this joint. At the time, it was called The Castle, and, you know, big ballroom set up, so they had the whole dance floor area. They had, you know, music playing and shit, but a lot of, like, big, like, actual tables, like dinner, you know, dining tables all set up and shit, and somehow ended up at the same, and it was a pretty long table, but ended up at the same big dining room table, sitting there, because, you know, I wasn't the biggest dancer or anything like that, so I was sitting there chilling out, pretty much diagonal across from Tracy Morgan. And, you know, it's not like I was sitting there conversating with him or whatever. I was talking to, you know, whoever I was with, and, you know, he was talking to me, and he just breaks his conversation, turns and goes, "Yo, look, it's Jim Carrey, this white boy hanging out with a bunch of niggas." And I just cracked up because I was like, oh, shit, he called me out in front of it. it was just one of the funniest things. I fucking cracked up laughing. And, you know, as he got more and more famous, I'm like, yo, Tracy Morgan called me Jim Carrey and shit. And it wasn't because I was funny or anything like that. He had no knowledge of anything. It was just because at the time, you know, in Living Color, he had the one white dude around, you know, a bunch of black people. And it was just the funniest shit to me. But like I said, I've always found him hilarious. Shit he does on the Stern Show is just fucking crazy. I mean, he's always just been hilarious. So yeah, my best wishes to that dude. I can't, you know, I can't stress enough that I just want to see that dude healthy and just make it out of there and, you know, be as least affected as possible. You know, I don't want to see this dude in a wheelchair or lose a leg or any kind of crazy shit like that. You know, I want to see Tracy back doing his stand-up and everything and making light of the situation, because I know that's what he's going to do. It was a Walmart truck. I could only see him now. You know, when I'm done with him, it ain't going to be Sam's Club. It's going to be Tracy's Club. I'm going to put stripper poles in the Walmart. Get him pregnant. You know, like, Tracy's going to tear that shit up. So, best wishes to that dude. I just hope that, he comes back and ends up full, you know, 100% off of that. Because that's a shame. Supposedly the dude fell asleep behind the wheel and, you know, just ended up all messed up and fell asleep behind the wheel. He was, like, sleep deprived for 48 hours or something crazy and just ran Tracy's limo off the road. So, you know, it wasn't anything that his guys were doing anything. He was actually coming from a stand-up date he did in Dover, Delaware, and, you know, down to Jersey Turnpike, I believe, over in Middlesex. So, yeah, like I said, best wishes to that dude. Ricochet won the Best of the Super Juniors. He was the third gaijin, those don't know, it's like anyone who's not Japanese, to win that tournament. Prince Devitt won it twice, and the only two other Americans that have won it were Eddie Guerrero and Chris Benoit, and Eddie Guerrero won it in 96 as Black Tiger, and that was the last time an American wrestler actually won that shit. So pretty amazing, and I didn't know, you know, the extent of that type of thing. I still have to watch it. I mean, to really get into that tournament, I think it's like a 7-day tournament. This isn't no bullshit. This isn't no 2-day single elimination tournament. They do some thorough shit. And, so yeah, but I didn't know, you know, they had like the big check there, and I seen, of course I had to look up the translation because I'm not a well versed like that, but they win 5 million yen. Well, and I don't even want to say win, because obviously it's wrestling, it's booked. But the booked winner of that gets 5 million yen, which, you know, like I said, I got to look up the translation, and it's $50,000. I think that's a fucking crazy payoff. Crazy fucking payday for a wrestler. Go to Japan. I don't know what people normally make in Japan or whatnot, but $50,000 payday for, you know what I mean? I congrats that I do, because I think that's phenomenal. And obviously, you know, the honor that comes with it, but 50 grand on top of that shit is nothing to shake a stick at. Fuck that. That's off the fucking chain. So congrats to that dude for sure. Let me see. What else? Yeah, let me just go over this Tournament of Death lineup. Let me see what I got here. Okay, I got it. All right. Tournament of Death is Saturday. This will be my first time going back in 2 years, you know, missed last year and whatnot. First round matchups, you have Light 2 Bundles match, which is one of my favorite types of matches, because it's pretty clear cut to the point, and usually just tremendous violence in those matches. The Bulldozer Matt Tremont will be taking on the Crazy Monkey Jun Kasai, and you know, I've said it in the past, with all love to Matt Tremont, Jun Kasai needs to win this tournament, let alone fuck the first round. There's no way you take Jun Kasai out in the first round and the fans aren't fucking upset for the rest of the tournament. There's just no way. There's no way to do that shit where the fans aren't unhappy. So Everybody I know wants Jun Kasai to win this tournament, and I really hope DJ doesn't fuck this up, because when it comes down to it, it's just the right thing to do. The fans are going to go home extremely happy. And, you know, there's some of those times you want to do something that's unpredictable, or you want to, you know, everybody expects this and you want to give them that. And there's a lot of time and a lot of space for that in wrestling. And I don't think this is one of them. There's some of those shows that, to me, it could be predictable and give the fans what they want, and there won't be anything wrong with it. You'll go into the show going, man, Jun Kasai needs to win. Jun Kasai wins, and okay, good, kind of saw that coming, but all that in between where you have the decision-making to, you know, put on this kind of match or put on that kind of match or do this spot or do that spot or do whatever, those are your opportunities to shock and awe, not with some kind of booking decisions, because we all fucking know, CCW fans, DJ does not shock and awe to the good side of things with his booking decision. So let's not try to be cute with this motherfucker and put some bullshit on, okay? I can't stress that enough. Like, honestly, I thought it was extremely predictable. I was surprised how many people didn't fucking think that. But I thought it was extremely predictable that Drake Younger was winning Best of the Best. He won it. I had no problem with it. It's fine. But I 100% thought that was going to happen. And when it happened, I was like, yeah, good. So that was another one of those times. I thought, you know, he's on his way out, and that's the right thing to do. I mean, it's coming full circle from a guy who, you know, held the world title longer than anybody else. And then on top of that, he, you know, he's won Tournament of Death. He's been like a deathmatch guy through and through, and has done like the craziest fucking matches in there. And then on top of that, to turn around and actually win the wrestling tournament in that company before going off to the WWE, I thought that was a really good send-off and something that you just kind of had to do. So to me, it was kind of like writing was on the wall for that. It was completely predictable, but I didn't see that as a bad predictable. Same thing as Jun Kasai winning the Tournament of Death. Not only is he the best deathmatch wrestler on the planet, he's also a guy whose name listed amongst other people as guys who have won your tournament only makes your tournament look that much better. You know what I mean? I mean, to say that, okay, Tremont went over Kasai and then ended up winning, or whoever ended up winning and Kasai happened to be in that tournament, doesn't look anywhere near as good as Jun Kasai won Tournament of Death amongst this other list of people. Those other people immediately look better in the history of things when Jun Kasai is on the top of the guys who won the tournament. It's, you know, just the way I see it. But so like I said, I hope for a fantastic match for Matt, but no fucking way should they put him over Kasai. Second match, the Black Angel, Jackie Numazawa, and Lucky 13. This is a fans bring the dildos match. I don't really understand why they had to do this. I think it's kind of fucking silly, and it might ruin the match. It really might. Hold on. I just don't like the idea. I mean, it's goofy and whatever, and I guess that's gonna be what it's gonna be. But I don't know. It's just goofy. You know, it's goofy amongst a bunch of other serious, you know, crazy deathmatch shit. So they do too much with the gimmick, and it's just going to make the match corny as fuck. But whatever. I mean, that show doesn't let down. You know what I mean? It's going to be another one of those shows that I think I'm going to come back, and I'm going to do the review next week on the show. And it'll be me just kind of nitpicking and, you know, detailing how I felt about this and that, but I don't think that the show's going to disappoint. Of course, providing that Jun Kasai isn't just dropped out of the tournament early, because that'll be disappointing. That'll be extremely disappointing. So, yeah, so there's that match, and, you know, both are very, very talented, so I think, you know, the more that they keep this about performance and less about the actual gimmick, the better this match will be, but I don't know. They're already really pitting it as, you know, that big thing. Speaking of pits, Ultraviolent Pits, Deathmatch Drunkard, Danny Havoc up against Masashi Takeda. This should be a really good match. A lot of people wanted this to be the finals when Takeda was in it. And, yeah, these guys are going to tear it up. Either one of these guys can go to the second round. I'd like to see Danny advance to the second round just because, you know, out of the CZW guys, I believe he's one that could really, you know, go to the second round and represent. I mean, with Jackie and Lucky 13, I could see it going either way. Chances are Numa Zhao is going to win it. I wouldn't mind seeing Lucky go through to the second round. That wouldn't bother me in the slightest. And I feel the same way about the other match, and that's the Ultraviolent Beast Masada against Arrow Boy. I think Arrow Boy and his Barbed Wire Madness. The Arrow Boy is very entertaining and something you haven't seen as much before. You know, a faster-moving deathmatch guy. You know, a lot of different things he's bringing to the table. We've seen a ton of Masada. You know, he's won all these deathmatches already. TODs already. It's pretty much overdone as far as Masada goes, so they could put him through to the second round. He's going to have good matches, and, you know, nothing wrong with that, but Arrow Boy is going to be a fresher way to go. So I wouldn't be that upset with him going through to the second round either. You know what I mean? It could really go either way. And then also, round two is going to have Fans Bring the Weapons matches. And then they're going to have Ron Mathis on the show, Sozio, Joe Gacy, DJ High, Devin Moore, and Alexander James in non-tournament action. So, like I said, this show is, the experience alone is awesome. It's definitely a great, great thing to attend. It's like nothing else, as they say. That's one thing. They could use that as their little tagline, but for the most part, it does not apply to that company. What it does apply to is Tournament of Death, because that show is like nothing else. And it, just the experience, the atmosphere, everything else. This will actually be my first Tournament of Death that I'm attending sober. So that'll be fucking awesome. I'll actually remember everything the next day. And, and I'm sure it'll be incident-free on top of it, so. Good stuff. Providing others don't, you know, provide me with incidents. But, which definitely not looking for. Anyway, so that's that. I'll be reviewing that next week. What else? Yeah, I'll be taking lots and lots of pictures, too. I'm hoping because I got second row. I tried early as shit, but it was still, you know, front row was still sold out. Man, I wish I could have got front row, so the pictures I get would have been that much better. But, you know, I'll do what I can, and I should be able to get some pretty good stuff from where I'm at. And, yeah, that's that. I'm very, very excited to go out to that. So, it's going to be good stuff. What else? Nothing else I could really think of offhand. Check out my dudes over there at Wrestling Soup. They do their show tomorrow night, 7 o'clock or 7:15 or 7:30, something in the 7 o'clock range. Sports Den, I believe, is on tonight, covering all the different sports, covering baseball, basketball, football, hockey, all of that stuff. And I don't think there was much going on in the WWE that I felt that compelling that I wanted to talk about. I watched Raw, but there wasn't anything that really grabbed me. It seems, you know, now they're stripping Daniel Bryan of the title. They said that he's having some problems recovering, where he has some sensation lost in one of his arms or something like that. His ligaments aren't recovering or some kind of shit. So that's a shame. I'm hoping he's able to, you know, bounce back and actually recover. But, I don't know what they do in the meantime. They, you know, had that such a slow build to him winning that title and then him to win the title and end up with the neck surgery that puts him out. That's a goddamn shame. But as long as he's able to get back in the ring at some point or another, his momentum will definitely come back where it was. It really will. If he takes time off, you know, any extended time off, him coming back is just going to be, like, the biggest fucking pop. As huge as he was, they're definitely going to just explode. So, you know, it'll all balance out. I still think the Seth Rollins thing is a good deal. You know, they kind of teased some bullshit where they had on SmackDown, I think they had Big Show, part of the Shield. I think these are all just, like, sub-ins. It's not, like, a member of the Shield. If they added the Big Show, I'd be really up in arms about how ridiculous that is. But, there's that. And, they, you know, they patched John Cena in there for Raw. It is what it is, you know. It's just patching him in. And, running this type of thing, if they're going to be up against, the Wyatts, well, Cena already had a thing going with the Wyatts, so that makes sense. If they're up against Evolution with Rollins, that changes things, you know, quite a bit. But, you know, I mean, they did have Stephanie out there talking shit to Cena and going back and forth with Cena, so it kind of planted the seeds, too, for him to have a little bit of a problem with that faction, and it wouldn't be hard to tie in to have Cena just teaming up with them. I'd like to see them actually add another member, and like I said, I'd like it to be a young, you know, rising star type situation, but, you know, we'll have to see. They do what they do. What else? I think the thing that they're doing with Damian Sandow is fucking great. Yeah, I was talking to Mish from Wrestling Soup the other night about it, and, yeah, he wasn't so big on it, and, you know, thinks that, you know, the guy can do much better and this and that, and I do agree, but my thing with that is not everyone can be funny. Not everybody could fit into that comedy role right. I mean, you can take any guy and just make him a clown and make him, like, look like shit. And if they're worth something, it can do two things. It can escalate them on how much they're worth, which I really do think that that's what Sandow's doing right now. Or it could just kind of bury him and make him look like a clown and devalue the guy. And, you know, I've seen them do that with a bunch of people in the past. Look what they did with Tensai. But, you know, they've had other guys, you know, the three-man band thing. They try to do the comedy gimmick with a lot of guys. One guy who I think does it fantastic, I think is an absolute asset to the company as far as entertainment and comedy and adding that personality to the WWE is Santino. I think Santino is that guy. But what they're doing with Sandow, I think, is awesome. When he did that shit with the ballerina outfit, I mean, his completely straight face amongst, you know, what he was doing, I mean, it's just unbelievable. Just fucking unbelievable. Complete straight face and doing all those fucking little ballerina movements and shit. I was cracking the fuck up. I mean, it's great. And Sandow's a great wrestler and he is worth quite a bit, but I think his range is unbelievable. And if you're able to do that type of shit and keep a straight face and really play it to the T like he did, that's fucking value right there. So that's that. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. I think that's about all I got. Like I said, check out Wrestling Soup. Check out Sports Den. Check out my dude, the Stern Nation, over there. And I think they do their thing over the weekend. Stern show's been pretty good. I listened to Monday. I haven't got to Tuesday yet. Like I said, I had the oral surgery and took off work today. So I got some stuff on the iPod waiting for me. And, you know, I'll get back at it tomorrow. And, yeah, a lot of good stuff to listen to and go through. So, but yeah, check out all those different shows. And like I said, I'll be back next week and I'll be hitting up that, Tournament of Death review. And, that's what's up. Yeah. So I think that's all I got. And I'll talk to you motherfuckers next week. Peace.
There's a cat in the house. Cat in the house. Let's get to the cat in the house.
Yakuza Kick Radio. Kill 'em all. Back on top. Think about it. Fuck Hulk Hogan.
Cause these motherfuckers are geniuses.
Keep it up, my nigga.
What the fuck?
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town, and it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.